This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard as we give you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Charlie, great to be with you heading into probably the most anticipated weekend of the season so far.
Especially with Tiger making the cut.
I don't know how it got to one over, Charlie, but luckily it did, because the first 2 days with him was incredible.
Very, very neat. I guess, I don't know why I said neat. It was special.
You know, and especially after last week's Phoenix Open, you know, in what was the most watched golf event since the final round of the Players, and, you know, the PGA Tour did such a phenomenal job with the scheduling of these elevated events. The fact that Riviera came the week after the Phoenix party is, you know, just absolutely perfect. And, you know, Scotty recaptured world number one, and a week before Riviera and 2 weeks before the start of the new LIV season, the tour is just in a great place with, you know, the list of winners we have so far in 23.
Cool Hand Luke.
What does that mean?
You never heard of Cool Hand Luke?
I have not heard of Cool. No, I have not.
It was guys like, you know, he was a movie actor, but watching Scotty play, he's Cool Hand Luke.
He's unfazed. We saw in the Netflix, you know, this is a very regimented individual. He held world number one for 31 weeks last year before, you know, Rory and Rahm got hot. But, you know, he's one of the most composed 26-year-olds you'll ever see, Charlie, as you know.
He really is, and the future is bright for him. You think he'll repeat?
Repeat in what sense?
Augusta?
You know, I think he's geared up for that. If he putts like he did, you know, in that fourth round, like we talked about, you know, I think he certainly can. 100-224-2004 is the number. Big show today. What a week. I'm fired up to see what Riviera brings over the next 48 hours. Number one, we'll go over Scotty before we get into that electric opening round on Thursday at Riviera that was fueled by Tiger, Rory, and JT. And, you know, what did you think about that, Charlie?
Well, number one, for Tiger to announce that he's coming back there, it was kind of surprised everybody, and it woke everybody up. Tiger's back. He's going to be around this year, and his presence was felt in a big way, not only with the golfing community, but the non-golfing community. That's when he moves the needle. He brings a lot of people that really don't care until he's there, and he showed his moxie, his you know, love for the game. That's, to me, is really magical. It's the love that he has for the competition and playing golf.
Because he didn't have to be there, Charlie, does he?
No. He could be on his yacht.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's competition. It's like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, you know, he kept coming back because the thrill of victory is so, you know, intoxicating that he needs that.
And it's amazing what Tiger has to go through just to get his body ready, Charlie. I mean, he you know, after the first round, he gets off the golf course and he said, you know, it's just going to be a night full of, you know, ice baths, and he has a whole team with him to wrap up the ankle, and he's, you know, working on the tape job mid round, and gets up, has to work a full sweat before he gets going, and you know, in the gym. So, you know, it's incredible to see, you know, what he kind of puts on the line in order just to get on the golf course. But I mean, the crowds at Riviera, especially Thursday for the end of that round, when Tiger, you know, birdied 16, 17, and 18, JT birdied 17 and 18, made a bomb on 18, and then Rory, you know, followed both of them up with a birdie on 18, and it really felt like three very huge voices in golf. You know, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing, you know, to actually put it on the course. I thought that was so impressive.
I would have liked to have been in the days of the Roman gladiators, because they were the sportsmen of the year. You know, they would come out and fight, and that's what it kind of felt like. You know, the gladiator. I mean, he's been beat up pretty good, and yet he comes out and shows us it's mind over matter.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And you know, I would have liked to heard Tiger in the, you know, the full the full swing Netflix, which was great. You know, they illustrated Tiger's return to the Open, and you know, I would have liked to seen him talk, but you know, because no one got paid, you know, Tiger it was not in there, at least for this year. But the show's number two on the top 10 and Netflix, you know, so we're going to go over that today. Did you get through it all, Charlie?
Yes, I did. I've got through the one with Patrick winning the U.S. Open. I fell asleep a little.
Yeah. Know,
but I got to give a shout out to a gladiator friend of mine who's going through some hard times, but he's a gladiator. He's working hard. Jimmy Jensen, my third grade buddy. He's gone through some tough times, and like everybody does, in this world, there's so much cancer going on, so much going on, and everybody's got to have that fight in them like Tiger, and my buddy Jimmy Jensen is going to make it.
Like your buddy Jimmy Jensen, like Tiger. How about Joel Dahman? You know, yeah. Lost his mom to pancreatic cancer, and right. When he was 17, he had testicular cancer himself, and he's a gladiator. You know, he's contending at the U.S. Open, even though I can't wait to pick your mind today on Dahman's mindset. You know, this guy, he was contending at the U.S. Open, but he sits there and he goes, oh, I'm the number 70 player in the world. It's all right. He obviously has what it takes to be a top player, but his mindset's a little different, Charlie.
Yeah, he has a more realistic with his presence in the PGA Tour, and he's one of the good ball strikers. And I love the relationship between him and his caddy. His caddy believes in him and his family life. So it's a great story in golf, and it just shows everybody. Golf doesn't care who you are. If you can go out there and hit a shot, make a putt, and shoot a number, you can play. And I love that.
Charlie, talking about Riviera, I was talking to a couple of my pals on the West Coast, and they say this is a golf course where you're walking down the fairways and you really feel Hogan walking with you. Can you second that?
Sure. I've had that experience. I've watched quite a few tournaments at Riviera, played it, and yeah, it's a hallowed grounds. It's sacred in that, you know, Hogan made his comeback there after that horrific car wreck and Snead, and they've had the U.S. Opens. Our friend Steve Elkington won his PGA there. That has a special memory to see him win his major championship. So yeah, and it's in Hollywood, you know, right next to it, and you see, you know, some of the great actors and you know, it's a storied place.
When you look at the last, you know, a few weeks on tour, just going over our last four winners, you had Rahm win his second event of the season at the American Express in Palm Springs. Max Homa won his second event at the Farmers at Torrey Pines. Justin Rose, you know, we talked about last week, 42 years old.
Great victory.
Incredible victory. You know, it just goes to show, not to get off track here with Justin Rose, we're going to talk about it today, you know, just how long a golf career can last.
Yeah.
But Scheffler repeating his title last week in Phoenix. And now you have Max Homa once again on the West Coast leading this golf tournament. And you know, at 31 years old, he has a chance to really kind of, I think, break through in a big way this year, especially with the U.S. Open being in L.A., where he's from, Burbank, you know, just north of that. But we've had some just incredible champions here over the last 5 weeks.
Very, very nice. See Justin Rose come back, and he's a gentleman. I mean, yeah. U.S. Open winner and didn't win for a few years, won the gold medal, of course. But yeah, all these guys. And see Scottie Scheffler represents the youth, the college golfers that are coming on board. You know, that's to me is the game is healthy. And as long as LIV Golf doesn't sign them all up, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. I think a lot of people, staying on the note of Scheffler, you know, had forgot about what he accomplished last year. this time last year. And you know, how could you blame them when Rahm and Rory, they amplified their games over the last 12 months. But that was Scotty's fifth win, you know, in the last 12 months. And I thought it was a stamp of verification on his Player of the Year award from last year. And just showing that last year, his first year breaking out on tour wasn't a fluke.
It's great stories. And to think in 2 short years, he's won $20 million. Nicklaus in his career, you know, won $5 million. Inflated dollars, I know, but the game has jumped up to stratosphere. And it's going to be interesting to see how it lasts at this stage.
Well, we were talking to Pearson Cootie 2 weeks ago,
yes.
And he won his second Korn Ferry Tour event this year, and he's already made more money than his grandfather, who was a Masters champion. It's you know, you're right. Even with inflation, it's still a drastic difference. Hey, Charlie, before we go to break, how about a word from our friends over at Insperity?
You know, Insperity, once again, they're set for this year. They've done all their planning. They have all their goals they want to meet, but the one goal that they want to improve every year is customer satisfaction. Are they doing the job for their customers? And Paul Sarvadi and his team of professionals, they strive on making sure that the customer gets more than what they anticipated. And that's what you want in life. And that's how you run a good business. They're a company that wants to, you know, be successful so the communities can prosper. So if you have a small business and you want to jump it up, Insperity.com, call them, let them come and see. They got 4,000 great employees that can help you, and I got 3 seconds. So give them a call, everybody.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes the difference. 900-224-2004 is the number to get in here and discuss the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Last segment, we reviewed world number one, Scottie Scheffler, defending his title in Phoenix. In case you missed that, you can find that on the podcast page on ESPN975.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. Charlie, before we get into, golf's Netflix, we touched last segment on how Tiger, JT, and Rory, sent shockwaves through the Pacific Palisades. Incredible first round, incredible ending. But, you know, what does this mean? You know, Tiger made the cut, one over par, the cut line shifted back. After what you saw the last 2 days, is this a guy that can pass Sam Snead's PGA Tour record at 82? They're tied right now. Can he pass it? Does he have another one?
I think he does. I hope he does.
180 mile per hour ball speed, hitting it past JT and Rory on any given drive. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
47 after what he's been through.
He's going to learn a lot this weekend. He's got to walk that golf course 36 holes more, but he's got a great team behind him, and he reminds me of the Super Bowl.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he's going to leave everything on the field.
Yeah.
You know, here's a guy with a high ankle sprain, and he performed like, you know, he was fine. So Tiger's a warrior. He's a gladiator. He wants it. So it's going to keep us all in the game.
Yeah, what made Thursday so intriguing was that Tiger was grinding, you know, for most of the day. He opened with a birdie on the easy downhill par 5 first. Then he bogeys 4, 10, and 12, and you're sitting there hoping he can at least par in. On that tough closing stretch. But that's the difference between Tiger and everyone else. Everyone else is thinking about parring in, and you know, he birdied 16, 17, and 18, which just had me totally fired up. But, moving along to the Full Swing Netflix, what a film. We talked to Chad Mumm 2 weeks ago before it released. You know, you don't just climb to number 2 on the Netflix top 10 for no reason. This, for starters, was such a well-done production, and Chad clearly has a golf mind and understood when and how to talk to every player.
it was uncanny. He caught some good stuff that in only a golf mind would do it, and it came out really well. And the watching the two young kids that played junior golf together, Spieth and Justin, you know, that was the story within itself. But their quality of golf and how they rose to where they are, how many majors that Justin got really, I mean, Jordan got real quick. And then to watch Justin come back on that day at Tulsa and win that second PGA championship with his mother and father there, that was a compelling story. That was really neat.
Yeah, that, you know, that was episode one, you know, frenemies. And you know, they were with Jordan Spieth before his first win in 3 years at the RBC, you know, and as you said, they were with Justin Thomas before the PGA. That was a very authentic episode where he, you know, Mum dove into the relationship between Spieth and JT. And, you know, Charlie, I know this about Justin Thomas and Mike Thomas, but the sentimental aspect of that episode was seeing how Mike Thomas navigates that parent and coach relationship.
Yes, it was really, really compelling. That's a relationship that, you know, most parents wish they had with their sons or daughters, and it was a great victory and fun to watch. But you know, the other thing behind the scenes is who started out second that day at
Augusta?
At the PGA at Tulsa.
Was it Zalatoris? Was it Mito? Was it Cam Young? I'm wrong on all three.
He won the U.S. Open.
Fitzpatrick, incredible. Yeah, I have that.
Now he bounced back from that disappointment to go on to win his first major at the golf club, you know. So those are all really, really compelling, and as we move forward, we'll see what else they produce.
Yeah, they've already started on season two. They've been following Max Homa around a lot. I know that for a fact, and I missed that we saw Fitzpatrick in episode one. You know, another unbelievable part that came at the end, and he was featured more in episode six, was Mito Pereira and his collapse at the PGA Championship. You got an up-close and personal look at his reaction after he hit that tee shot at the 72nd in the water. You know, that was so real, because while none of us understand what it's like to hold the lead at the PGA Championship, we all know that immediate feeling when you wing one in the water, and you know, he showed exactly that.
And Zalatoris, you know, he hung in there, you know, and he came back and finally won a tournament this year, and I like that name, Zalatoris. He's going to do something special.
Yeah, this year. He can stay healthy.
Yeah, his back is questionable, but you know, look at Tiger, had his back fused twice. Great stuff.
And you know, with episode two, we saw, you know, the good relationship, and one, we saw the great relationship between JT and his dad. You know, episode two was Scheffler and Koepka. Now, Brooks Koepka is a little bit of a different story there. You know, an interesting, well, you know, just for starters, you know, Brooks Koepka is 2 years removed now, probably 3 years removed from winning four majors in a span of 2 years. And now he's 32 years old, and we saw in the documentary, he kept saying over and over again, you know, I better figure out my game before it's too late. It's like, you're 32. Justin Rose won at 42 2 weeks ago. Bill won the PGA at 51. Yeah. Too late for what?
Well, see, what happens, and Jackie Burke always says it, you don't find majors, they find you. And he went through a two-year period where he won four major championships, and he was a Joe Nobody. He had to go to Europe to get his card to come back and play, and luckily he fell into the Harmon family. And Butch's son helped him a lot. Claude Jr. or Claude the Third, and then here lately they broke up. And what happens? You can't do that. Nicklaus had his coach the same for so many years. you can't go and, you know, Ricky Fowler is back with Butch.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Great.
Yeah. So I don't feel sorry for Koepka. He lives in that mansion. He's got all the bells and whistles. But one thing he doesn't have is his golf game. And that's, huh?
I thought a funny part of episode two is when he was signing autographs for the kids, and the kid goes, "Where's Jen at?" It was hilarious. The kid asked where Brooks' wife was. You know, she's a big hit. But, you know, I still feel like Brooks has 5 to 6 good years left, even with the lower body injuries. I think him being injured that much early is interesting.
That muscle-bound type person. You get one muscle bad, now it's going to multiply. So I don't know if he'll be able to come back, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we've talked about Scheffler enough today, but the serenity of how Scotty handles himself was great to have in the same episode as Brooks, because Brooks, all around, it's a very turbulent situation right now from what I see, at least. You know, to be in that mindset at 32, that guy has plenty of good golf left.
You know, where's Jordan's mindset?
That's a good question.
Rory hadn't won a major in how many years? 2014 last one?
This is the 10th year. Last year was year
10
9.
10 years.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. Well, and Rory said in the Netflix, you know, he feels like he's trying to win a major for the first time in his career. If he feels like it's a different Rory at this point. And to your point about Spieth, you know, that he misses the cut this week at Riviera. Charlie, he's hitting wild shots. You know, the putting is nowhere near what we saw, you know, 2 years ago. But I'm confident in Jordan. As we saw in episode one, unbelievable head on his shoulders.
Yep.
You know, you talk about someone, you know, Koepka is saying he can't get it back after 2 years of struggling. How about Spieth, you know, before his win at the RBC last year? It had been 3 years, Charlie.
Yep.
And you know, he grinded through the storm. you know, we're going to have to wait and see as far as, you know, how he shows up to Augusta. But with this leaderboard at the Genesis, Max Homa leads the way at 10 under. John Rahm in a tie for second with Keith Mitchell at 9 under. Lee Hodges also in the mix there. Colin Morikawa in solo fifth at 8. If he can putt, Charlie, you know, that's another guy. Shades of Tiger, they say. You know, they were comparing Morikawa to Tiger in that documentary. I don't like that. We'll give you some picks and predictions, and well as continue with the Netflix conversation on the other side, right? And Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Great to have you aboard as we break down the latest in the world of golf. Last segment we reviewed an electric opening round at the Genesis and discussed the first two episodes of Full Swing. In case you missed that, you can find our podcast on ESPN975.com, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. A question before we continue on with the coverage of the Genesis and go through the last couple episodes of Full Swing. Charlie, ton of conversation this week through the golf world whether 36-hole cuts will exist, not only in these elevated events, but just in general on the PGA Tour. And it's been, as you know, a major part of the tradition of golf. Bob Herrig of SI reported that getting rid of cuts is definitely a conversation that is being had in Ponte Vedra right now. Charlie?
How much money do each player get playing the tour this year? $500,000.
Right. If you have a full – if you're full status on the PGA Tour or Korn Ferry Tour, full status on each, you get $500,000 up front. Yeah. If you're a non-playing member.
So if you miss a cut, you still get paid.
Correct.
You've gotten $500,000. So they've eliminated the World Golf Championships, and those were all, you know.
Besides one more year of the Dell, but there's still a cut there because you have to advance past pool play.
So
I think the cut is part of the whole deal. Yeah. I mean, it's you got to think of the
Doesn't
people.
Doesn't it make Friday more exciting, Charlie?
Well, it makes Friday more exciting for the players. But the organizers of the events and all that, it makes it easier for them to run 70 players on the weekends, and it doesn't beat up the course as much, and you're sure to get done at time. Just like right now, they had to extend the play until Saturday because they didn't get finished because of lack of light, and I think the cuts are here to stay. I would hate to see them go away.
I don't want to see cuts go away. I don't want to see 132-man fields go away, you know, because I feel like it adds, you know, you get stories like a Lee Hodges or, you know, a Danny Willett who we haven't seen in 2 years. You know, when you have a fuller field and you let, I mean, maybe a few more of these journeymen, I don't want to only see the top 70 in the world.
Well, no, the first 2 days. I mean, in the summer, they go up to 156.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of opportunities. But there's that $500,000 that they get to start the year with. So if they miss the cut, I mean, they've still got money in their pocket.
One last question before we move on. When you have a field, like let's say the Houston Open or the Byron Nelson, and you have, let's say, the only two stars, so-called stars, in the field are a Sam Burns and a Jordan Spieth. If they miss the cut after Friday, is there a monumental difference as far as ticket sales and you know, viewership numbers maybe, but ticket sales more for the tournament? Does it make a bad impact on the tournament?
No, the only ticket sales that really is when Tiger's in the field. That's when they sell a lot of tickets. The organizers of tournaments, they have their sales clubs and they sell their tickets, and they get, you know, 40,000, 50,000 people on Saturday and Sunday, and it's good entertainment.
1-800-224-2004 is the number to get in here. As far as the Genesis Invitational is concerned, at Riviera, Max Homa leads the way by one over Keith Mitchell and John Rahm. John Rahm back in the mix, Charlie, and I understand that, you know, Max Homa has, you know, all the chutzpah you need to close another close his third victory of the season. But when you have guys like John Rahm and, you know, Rory is only four back, you know, you definitely feel them behind you, don't you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know everybody gets up in the morning and looks who's behind them. You know, Claude Harmon always had the funny one when Butch Harmon was playing the tour. He said, "Butchie, I got to turn the paper upside down to see your name."
Because it was so far down?
Yeah. That's but, yeah, no, the players, they know who's behind them, and they, you know, you might get the occasional guy like Damon. He might not look. He showed a propensity of really not paying, you know, not getting too excited about the game and realizes his place in the game. But then he played good at the Open.
Charlie, the man tied for second, Keith Mitchell, 2019 Honda Classic champion. It only took him 49 putts to get through 36 holes. You ever have a run like that?
You know, I had when I shot 61, I had six putts in 9 holes.
Wow.
3 chip-ins. But, you know, very, very few times. I mean, sure, whenever you're going low, you're having 25, 24 putts, 20, you know, that's very doable.
And especially at a place like Riviera, you shared, you know, you kind of have to go flag hunting there, don't you? The middle of the green is not always the best spot at Riviera,
no,
is it?
No, because those greens are small. That's the other thing. And then the chipping is very important. And I've seen some great chips where these guys are magical with how they control the ball around the green and how they can flight it and hop, skip, and jump it to the hole. So that's another talent that people have to develop to if they want to win their club championship, they want to win, you know, beat their buddies. Learn how to chip and pitch. They don't practice that enough.
I see a lot of people, you know, their strike, you know, they struggle. They take these huge backswings and, yeah, and, you know, their strike is about 2 inches behind the ball. How do you,
How would you tell the listener at home how to fix that? I see it happen all the time.
Well, once again, you got to realize that the ball is designed to roll. Okay? So you got to roll the ball when you're chipping and pitching. Minimum air time, maximum ground time. Learn how to hit that little chip and run like they did over in Scotland and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of times, you know, everybody's trying to hit it high and they got that 60-degree wedge in their hand and they shouldn't play it. They got to use that pitching wedge more. My good friend Dick Harmon always used his pitching wedge for chipping and pitching. Don't use your sand wedge because you spin it too much. You got to hit it, you know, minimum air time, maximum, you know, ground time. Get the ball rolling, and that will give you the feel and get it close to the hole.
When the collars and fringes are in good shape, what are your thoughts about the Texas wedge, little hybrid, little putter bump up there? What do you think about that play?
You know, hybrid, I still don't think people practice it enough. 7, 8, 9 irons are great chipping and pitching clubs. So Paul Runyon always said, you know, you got to get the ball out of the first grass and get it on the green so it can roll. So take enough loft, you know, to get it to the green and then let it roll to the hole.
It's a good lesson, Charlie. Everyone needs it. Everyone
yes.
needs it.
Yeah.
Let's continue along with our thoughts on the Full Swing Netflix. And, Charlie, episode 3 was titled Money or Legacy and provided an in-depth look at Ian Poulter's decision to go to LIV. You know, don't get me wrong. I love the journeyman story like Joel Dahman, which we will get into. But if you're a producer, Charlie, do you spend an entire episode covering Poulter and his so-called, you know, business decision to go to LIV?
$70 million. That's a lot of money in a lifetime.
Yeah.
He's made 30 and they just gave him 40. I think he better sit back and relax, you know, because he really caught lightning in a bottle anyway, and he really worked hard to get to where he is. And it, his fame came from match play events,
yeah.
You know, at the Ryder Cup. And
undefeated in Sunday singles, you know, all time.
Yeah, so, but now he wants the glory. Yeah. You know, he wants that walk, that April walk in Augusta. Well, he gave that up.
Yeah, and we saw how bad he wanted it because Chad Mumm followed Poulter through the Dell match play. And I believe through one other event where he had to make the cut in yeah. order to get to Augusta.
Yeah.
I think it was the Players is after. No, it was the Players. The Players is before Augusta.
Yeah.
Now, right? Yeah. And Poulter threw his clubs in the locker room after the, you know, he missed the cut. But, you know, anyways, I was slightly annoyed that they spent a whole episode with Poulter. But Ricky Fowler said it best. Ian Poulter is. He's a character of the game. You know, Poulter noted that he's been away from his four children for 50% of their upbringing. I mean, Charlie, what about your career?
That's right.
You were gone. You know, you had to work at the golf club from 4 a.m. until, you know, the sunset.
Yep.
You know, he's not the only one.
And my dad worked at an automobile plant 6 days a week, you know. Stop your crying.
When we come back, we'll go through 6, 7, and 8 of the Netflix and get you some picks and predictions for the Genesis Invitational right in the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, 45 minutes past the hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour, by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Charlie, we left off last segment. We talked about episode three. Episode four really got the show back on track after we grinded through, you know, Brooks Koepka and Poulter. The, you know, imposer syndrome episode was really a breath of fresh air. with the feel-good story and Joel Dahmen. I mean, this is a guy who is incredibly honest about how, you know, about where his place in the game is. As he said, you know, he will never be a top 10 player in the world. He'll never win majors. Yeah, Charlie Dahmen, you know, was in the mix, you know, through most of last year's U.S. Open. Have you ever seen a player like this?
There's quite a few of the guys that
they just don't take themselves that seriously.
That seriously, they're just glad to have what they have, and they don't want to be in the limelight. You know, they don't want that exposure. They just want to enjoy a little golf, make some money, and go to the beach.
Yeah, he really an inspirational story. Otherwise, was a good high school player. Grew up in Washington. You know, lost his mom to pancreatic cancer at 17. Still mourns, you know, her loss 10 years later. Charlie, I've picked your mind about it a ton. It's amazing. We saw, you know, Finau lost his mom. He still mourns it. You know, we've talked about it over breakfast.
Right.
You know, you still think about your dad all the time.
Oh, sure. You know, your mom and dad pass, but they're with you every day. You know, my dad is with me every day. So is my mom, and in different situations, you recall what they taught you, and you wish that they would be. You know, like today with baseball games, I wish my dad was here to watch his grandsons play baseball.
Yeah.
I think, you know, so sure, we all do that.
And it would, you know, even after Dahmen, you know, lost his mom to cancer at 17, Dahmen himself had to overcome testicular cancer.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been an uphill battle to getting to this point in his career. I think my favorite part of the Dahmen episode, Charlie, is when he's at the U.S. Open sectional qualifying. A lot of people forgot he had to qualify for Brookline. He shoots 71 in the morning. He goes inside for lunch, has himself a White Claw, which is a, you know, it's a seltzer. It's a seltzer, and you know he drinks a couple of those and goes out and shoots 63 and qualifies for the U.S. Open in the afternoon.
I've done that. I didn't have the seltzer. I shot 72-68 to qualify for my first U.S. Open, and that day is one of the longest days. And then you have to drive back to Houston, but yeah, those are fond memories.
That had to have been a satisfying drive.
Oh yeah.
Charlie, I think a lot of listeners are interested. You know, they saw the episode with Dustin Johnson. That was, you know, episode 5 was parlayed between Matthew Fitzpatrick and Dustin Johnson. You know, Dustin, there's really not much to talk about there because his answer was simple. He went to live for more money and less work. With DJ, that was all there was to it.
He got his Masters. He got his U.S. Open, you know, and he's happy with life, so I can't begrudge him.
I miss, you know, he's an exciting player to watch just with his calm personality, but then, you know, absolutely no aggression in this game, but the drives off the tee, and, you know, it seems like everyone on tour really likes him. He improved a lot with his wedge game and his putting here over the last 5 years. That's what set him over. That's what made him a champion. But within the same episode was a great story in Matthew Fitzpatrick. You know, they followed him all year long. As you just reminded me, he had the lead at the PGA Championship, and then, you know, come the U.S. Open, Fitzpatrick, you know, he was, you know, they showed him rooming with, you know, Thomas Peters, who is now off to live, but you know. It was telling in that story how Fitzpatrick had won the USAM 9 years prior to winning at Brookline. So I thought that was a great episode.
Sorry for the distraction. One of my students just called me. I thought I had my phone off.
Nope. Hey, no problem at all, Charlie. Let's get to this Genesis Invitational leaderboard. Max Homa leads the way at 10 under with Rahm and Rory, Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay all chasing. Who do you think gets it done this week, Charlie?
You know, Homa is really looking good. I mean, you know, he's played so well this year. He's got a victory under his belt, you know, and he's won, what, 6 tournaments already? And so he's good. I like Mitchell. I like the way he looks. He looks, you know, tidy with the golf club in his hand.
He's a classic guy. He wears those big collars that Arnold Palmer used to wear.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then Rahm is Rahm. You know, he plays with a lot of tension on his shoulder, and he's fun to watch. He hits a lot of good shots, but it's close. Everybody's within a shot, so it's maybe Morikawa will break his non-winning streak. So it's up for grabs.
You know, Rory is going to look to become the third player this season to win twice. That would be incredible. He was featured in that very last episode of a Full Swing, where they kind of went through him first off losing the Open Championship, which he had in the back. He would have won that 10 times out of 10 any other year, and then he proceeded to win the Tour Championship and take that one from Scotty. So Rory, only a couple back, four back heading into the weekend. I'll give you a pick right after I tell you a quick message from my friends over at Swing Sound Golf, which you can find on the App Store or Google Play. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or too quick, especially under pressure, when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmotter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm when they swing the club. Do yourself a favor and take control of your golf performance and establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. All right, Charlie, I think I'm going to go...
Decisions.
You know, I think Rory McIlroy comes from four back and wins this golf tournament, becomes our third multi-time winner of the season. What about you?
You know, Cantlay, UCLA, didn't he play UCLA?
Yeah, he
played Riviera.
Yes.
In college, he's only two back. It's all up for grabs.
It really is. It's tough to argue with Rahm. I mean, this guy. He's really the only player on tour right now who has a really intimidating presence. I mean, when that guy is climbing up the leaderboard, I wouldn't want to be a rookie or someone with limited experience and have him chasing me.
Yeah.
What else? We have when you look at the FedEx Cup standings, Charlie, John Rahm, obviously he leads the way right now. Max Homa is the guy who has held it for four different occasions.
But number one player is Scotty.
Yeah, the number one player in the world is Scotty. He's six back heading into the weekend at Riviera.
He can shoot 63 today.
Easily. It could be a totally different leaderboard.
Yeah, tomorrow. Everybody's bundled to within two shots. So it's going to be a great weekend, and we'll see what Tiger does.
That's right.
Tiger watch.
When you look at the past champions of this golf tournament, Phil won it a couple times, Bubba won it a couple times, DJ won it a couple times. If there's one part of your game, Charlie, as we depart, what's one game that has to click at Riviera? What one part of your game that has to click at Riviera?
It's a second shot course. You got to be a great iron player. You got to be able to put the ball where you need to put it to be able to make some birdies.
Well said. I you mentioned that you can't, the middle of the green. Most coaches will tell you, the middle of the green is always a safe shot. That's not the case, Riviera, is it?
No, it's not, because the greens are special. They have some hidden breaks that if you really don't know them, it's hard to it takes you two or three years to get to know those greens. But the bottom line is you got to know where to miss your second shot. You can't fly it over the green on five, because you can't get it up and down from there.
Charlie, I enjoyed it this morning. I'm looking forward to seeing you next Saturday as the PGA Tour moves on to the Florida Swing. John Bellmer behind the ones and twos, we appreciate it so much. We'll see you next week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference.